You're locked in on the Sports Map Radio Network, brought to you by Saturday's huge night of fights, headlined by the bronze bomber Deontay Wilder versus the Nordic nightmare Robert Hellenius. Don't miss the hard-hitting action this Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, live on Fox Sports PBC pay-per-view. Order today. Now, back to the show.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, game one in the books for the divisional series. We've got game two today. Gabe Lax joins us, USA Today, on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. How are you, Gabe?
Doing good this morning. How you doing?
I'm great, my man. All right, so let's talk about the one team that won yesterday. That's the Philadelphia Phillies. This was the last wild card team to get in, and yet they swept St. Louis in two games and now take game one against the Braves. What is working for the Phillies? And by the way, where did they come from? Because I know they fired their manager in the middle of the season.
You know, and it doesn't just seem like a reason. It feels like they've been pushing this boulder up the hill for about 4 years and have never quite. Yeah, I mean, you look at their win totals, they're always around 82 wins, 84 wins right there. You know, they're always in it until about the last week. And this year looked very much the same. And it's kind of funny. Talk about a beneficiary of the new format. You see this with a couple of teams. They didn't really do anything much different this year, but the playoffs kind of came to them, you know. When you look at the the Phillies, a couple other teams, the Mariners, I mean, I think they would have been in it anyway. But they're finally getting some reliable bullpen work from a lot of guys that you would not have figured to would be doing that. In terms of this year specifically, Castellanos was kind of cold all year. Three two out RBI hits, an amazing catch. Yeah, to me, I think it's really the bullpen that's been covering those outs. When you talk about guys like Jesus Alvarado, Zach Eflin, he really nice stroke of luck. He got hurt, and his injury dictated that he didn't have enough time to come back to start. So they're like, all right, we'll toss you in the bullpen. And now he's pretty much their closer, you know. So a lot of funny little happy accidents like that have occurred. And they're playing really great right now. So it's they've always been there. They've just kind of been loitering right on the perimeter, and now they're the little things are finally starting to come together for them.
Let's go to the Yankees and the Cleveland Guardians series. And there was a lot of talk about Aaron Boone. Should he start Nestor Cortez in game one? He went with Garrett Cole. Cole performs. Now they've got Cortez going in game two. The situation there was this a real debate given the circumstances, or was he always inclined to go with Cole in game one?
Yeah, I think the latter part of that is more it. You know, I mean, maybe you wait to see who you're playing. Maybe you run a few things through the old analytics Vegematic. But yeah, I mean, it's still Garrett Cole. You know, he still led the major leagues in strikeouts. He maybe hasn't been exactly as they might have wanted, given the amount of money and the commitment to him, but he's still a really great pitcher. And you kind of have to have that guy that you consider your hoss, you know. And and Cortez is really good too. You know, I mean, he's almost like their David Wells of this year. You know, the lefty who just kind of grinds through, and you look up and it's six, seven innings in, and you know, he's given up maybe one run. So I don't think it was too big of a decision, but. I think the bigger development last night was just that they were able to cobble together a couple plus innings from their bullpen, which remains kind of a mess, and I think is eventually, going to come up and bite them. But I think this is working out well, and that they can use this Guardian series to try to kind of work that out a little bit. And not to totally discount Cleveland. I mean, Bieber could really pitch great on Thursday and get them back into it, but they just look like they don't have enough punch to stay up with the Yankees. So sometimes teams need to start to get on a roll, and maybe the Yankees can do that in this series.
There's so much statistical data that you can get out of a 162 game season. Are the Yankees and Astros that much further than the four teams that had to go through the wild card round?
I think the Astros are, just because, and it's not so much like you know, this much more slug or this or that. It's just the way they're constructed, you know, and the performances, the kind of predictive performances they get out of people. You know, I mean, you know, Yordan Alvarez, absolute worthy MVP candidate. I mean, he's, you know, beyond Ohtani and Judge, he is the AL MVP. To me, the difference maker between these two teams is Christian Javier, who, you know, and I was a little surprised Dusty brought him in. I think they were down two, three runs when they brought him in yesterday. He ended up giving up a home run himself, but, you know, just a devastating power arm that they, it looks like they're going to choose to deploy him from the bullpen. You know, we forget, but the Yankees had a guy named Michael King a few months ago,
right,
who was just dominant and, you know, suffered a dislocated elbow. You know, he's been out since roughly June or so, but, you know, they were kind of the same kind of guys in terms of what they would give the team this postseason, and the Astros still have their guy, and he covered a lot of outs for them, and, yeah, so I think the Astros are that daunting. I think the Yankees could be, but, you know, right now just a lot of things aren't clicking as smoothly as they are for, you know, the Yankees as they are for Houston.
I know that the whole line about, you know, momentum is the next day's starter, I kind of get that, but I can't imagine, how do you regroup after getting Verlander out of the game and having a big lead, and then one swing you find yourself, we didn't get the game that for most of the game we thought we were getting?
Really tough. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, they got to the playoffs. They found out about what it's like to play in the playoffs. They beat the Blue Jays. It's great, but this is something entirely different that, you know, pretty sure nobody on that team, maybe Carlos Santana, has experienced, you know. And it's, it's just devastating. In addition to just, you know, I mean, they got to Andrés Muñoz, who is their, you know, obviously their untouchable, you know, setup guy. They got to Paul Sewald, and obviously they roughed up Robbie Ray there. So it's sort of like, you know, okay, you know, this ground we're on suddenly feels a little bit shaky. So, you know, this is the biggest start of Luis Castillo's life by far, you know, surpassing his biggest start of his life that was just last week. You know, this is going to be a little different, I think, you know, just because the Astros will have that momentum. It looks pretty wild down there, and it's such an experienced playoff team. So, yeah, obviously a must win, because I don't think there's any way they'd win three in a row against Houston, you know, especially without Castillo. So they got to win this one, and we'll see if you know, if Castillo is as great as it seems he is. He certainly seemed that way against Toronto, and now they really, really need him.
We've gone down this road with the Dodgers before, this obviously being an 111-win team, so they've had the more wins of any of these Dodger playoff teams that we've seen in the World Series and win World Series and whatnot. Is there some things, though, that are different than – is this just the usual Dodgers, or is this the better Dodgers?
So it's interesting because, you know, the names are so different. And, you know, it was around, I don't know, maybe around August or so, I kind of came to the conclusion, like, you know what? I don't care who the names are. These guys are good, you know.
Yeah.
Tyler Anderson is good.
Yeah.
You know, Evan Phillips is good. You know, and for all those sort of bullpen pratfalls they've had in the Kershaw era, you know, if you go back, 15 years, you know, I think what we saw last night was really significant. You know, you saw four guys come in and just do their job, and you could kind of see the emotion from them. Not that they doubted themselves, but, you know, you wait so long knowing that everything is coming down to a game like last night. And it kind of is. I mean, not only do you need to get out of the series, but you need to line things up. You need to, you know, nobody wants to go seven games. That's a tough way to get through October. So, you know, for Vezia and Phillips and Gratterall, and then Chris Martin, veteran reliever, you know, and Dave Roberts says it could look different every night. You know, right now it looks like he might be their postseason closer. Amazing. You know, I think he went from a 4.3 ERA in Chicago, traded to LA, and now he had like a 1.3 ERA. They're clearly doing the right things with him, doing their Dodger magic. It's amazing kind of what they've concocted. But yeah, I just think they are that good. And, you know, not to say they won't have any hiccups, not to say Darvish couldn't throw a little bit of a wrench in things tonight. But, you know, even if the names aren't known, who cares? You know, they're performing really well. And just, you know, keep the pedal to the metal and hope that most nights your offense will, you know, will slug your way into, you know, not having to stress so much like they did last night.
What is the baseball strategical thought when it comes to five-game series? How much different is it when you prepare for a seven-game series? I mean, you might have to ask your ace to come back way sooner in a five-game series than a seven-game series, but what is the overall feeling of how do we approach these games in a five-game set than a seven-game set?
Yeah, I mean, you can leave off a starting pitcher maybe from the playoff roster, you know, bring in another bullpen arm. You know, in most years, you know, your game one starter can go game four, that kind of thing. But the off days are so funny this year, just with the way they're trying to cram it in, that it's going to be a little bit more different from that. But, yeah, you look at what, you know, most notably 2018, 2019, the Red Sox and Nationals, what they were able to do with bringing their starters in relief, when you're talking about Rick Porcello and Max Scherzer and Patrick Corbin, you know, a couple of others throughout that playoff run. That started in the wild card round. So, you know, it's kind of a matter of how do we want to play this for the next few weeks. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to go about it. This year is so unique because of sort of the lockout mandated schedule. It's pretty funky. So, but yeah, you definitely, you know, have a mind to, you know, to go to the hook sooner. I was amazed in the wild card round how many seven-inning pitching performances we saw. Because, you know, typical, you know, in this day and age, is like 4 1/3 innings, even if it's only a 2-2 game, you know. Maybe we'll see a bit of a trend back to letting starters go, or maybe we just happen to have a set of starting pitchers in these playoffs that are capable of going a little deeper. So, yeah, it's everything is definitely compressed, and the sense of urgency is certainly heightened, and the emphasis is on deep starting pitching is a little less, just because you're probably not going to need four guys.
I was kind of looking this over, and when this all kind of came about after the weekend, and I was looking at it, and I went, wait a minute, hold on. We've got three of these series that include divisional opponents, like teams that played 19 times during the regular season. Is that add a little element to it? Is that familiarity an attraction to these series, or is it sort of like we're seeing the same thing? We've seen this before many times.
I think it's good. I think it's kind of fun because it instills a certain fearlessness in the inferior team. You know, I think the Phillies did well. I think they were 8-11 against the Braves. Not too bad.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, all right, you know, we've seen these guys. Let's do it again. You know, and then with the Dodgers, I think there is that mental edge they're hoping to maintain. You know, we I think they were 14-5.
14-5, yeah.
Yeah, 23 of the last 28 over the last few years against them. You know, so it's it takes on a different dimension there. So I think it's kind of fun, and I think it's helpful to the if you are the lower seeded team, if you are on the road, you know, hey, we've been here so many times. We know the name of the clubhouse attendance. We know what time the bus has to leave, all that kind of stuff, you know. So
yeah
I think it does make it a little more prone to potential upsets maybe.
All right, Gabe, always good talking to you, my friend. Thanks a lot as we head into game twos today. Thank you, my man.
You got it. One game at a time.
Gabe Lax, USA Today on the baseball playoffs. And again, these guys that cover this sport, especially nationally, like Gabe, you know, Steve Gardner, a lot of these guys that we talk to, these are long days. I mean, you watch all of these games, paying attention to all these games. They start at like, what, 1 PM Eastern time? They run all the way through till past midnight. It's a long day of watching four games. But this is the type of year. But like I was saying earlier, this is like it's neat to see the Dodgers. They just keep beating San Diego all the time. This is their 15-5. That was their 20th meeting of the season. They are 15-5. But as he mentioned, the Phillies, here's a team that, you know, had struggled, like he said, pushing a boulder up a hill, finally find something. But they went 8-11 against the Braves, which is not a bad record for a team going up against the defending World Series champion. So there's three of these matchups that are divisional matchups where you see guys a lot. You know, Cleveland and the Yankees only played six times during the regular season, six times. So it's not like the Guardians, I should say, have seen Aaron Judge a bunch of times. They kind of know how to pitch to him. You know, they got him out a few times yesterday. So baseball playoffs, it's always a fun time. As we continue, it's Wake Up Call.